Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Just to go through intimations. Again, the usual fire alarm. If in the unlikely event of the fire alarm, unless you're instructed otherwise, proceed just through the front doors of the church and out, and we'll meet up at the car park, the school car park. If you are in the hall or in the kitchen, you should go out by the side doors. This is the first Sunday of the month, so there's a retiring collection after the worship, just for the work of the church. And tea and coffee after the service as well, in the hall after worship. So just a time to be together, to share fellowship, and to just to share around the table. And coffee morning at the High Kirk, 10:30 on Tuesday. Again, that's just an open invitation, and there's normally a time of worship as well. The Guild autumn visit will be to Auchengree Farm Shop in Tearim on 8th of October. And this afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm leading the service at South Beach House, so all are welcome to join me there. And here's the competition, 3 o'clock at St John's. It's Cathy Galloway from the Eye on a Community, Guns or People. Wednesday evening is a joint Kirk session meeting at 7 o'clock here in Livingston Church in the small hall. The guest speaker is the Reverend Ian Sutherland, and he's going to focus on what it is to be a learning community. Now, session meeting is open anyway, so people can come to the session meeting. So if you wish to hear Ian speak about what it is to be a learning community, you are most welcome. If there's any business that needs to be dealt with in private or whatever, then we'll soon tell you. But do come to hear Ian speak and find out what a learning community is about. Result from the shoebox appeal, 67 filled shoeboxes, £230 in various knitted items at the Harvest Thanksgiving service. A really good response, so thank you all contributed. Many thanks from the Guild, many thanks to all who supported the event on Tuesday, 24th of September. Enjoyed the company, the cakes and a good blether. And £232.40 raised for Macmillan Cancer Support. So really well done. Everyone was involved in that. Church Magazine. The sessions agreed that to allow Alan to compile a joint Church Magazine. And so if you get any ideas for articles or you wish to contribute, please email Alan on magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk. This Christmas version is going to be a full colour, and it will be out in time for the December communion. We get to the Mother Goose, the Livingston Players, Tuesday 3rd to Friday the 6th of December. I was about to say, tickets are going fast, and Wednesday sold out, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't think there's that many tickets available, but there they are, £7 for adults, £5 for children, and will be on sale after worship next week. So there's availability. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Let's worship together. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Your faithfulness, O Lord, is great. Holy, loving, powerful, faithful, compassionate, wise God, you are eternal. You are almighty. You are righteous, merciful, and just. You created our world and all that is in it through the power of your word, and in your power and wisdom you guide and rule in all things. You are beyond anything we can think of or imagine. Your thoughts and ways are infinitely higher than ours. We are amazed that you, the Almighty Creator of the world, invite us to come to you and to know you as our loving Heavenly Father. We come at your gracious invitation to meet with you, to receive from you and to worship you. And so, Father, we thank you that you did not spare your own Son, and gave him up for us all. And Lord, at the end of the day, we know that this is what really matters, that you gave Jesus, your Son, for us. We thank you too that along with him you freely give us all things. And we thank you that for the many ways in which you provide for the practical concerns of our lives. And as we worship and praise you, we ask that these practicalities would never become the sole or the primary focus of our prayers and our relationship with you. Help us to seek the help of your Holy Spirit in dealing with different and difficult matters, but most of all, to help us to remember what happened, what matters most. We thank you that through Jesus Christ we can know forgiveness, reconciliation with you, our loving Heavenly Father, and eternal life in your presence. As we come before you this morning, we bring all our thoughts, all our deeds, all our words, all our actions before you. Confess those times when these things have not been worthy of you, of following your way. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive and cleanse us through Jesus' shed blood. Would you help us by your Holy Spirit to offer you the worship of our hearts? We open the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus and to see ourselves in your word. Would you help us to offer prayers which will be after your heart? Father, as we present ourselves this morning, we come eager to meet with you. But would you change us? Would you challenge us? Would you encourage us? And would you equip us to be your worthy followers? Hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. Let's worship him. We continue with our offering. So as we bring our prayers together, prayer points for today from our Rossin Presbytery prayer cycle, it's retired ministers in Presbytery. From Crossreach, it's Well Hall Residential Home in Hamilton. This is a residential care home for 36 older people. Their prayer points are this: for the Lord's protection over residents, that they would feel safe and comfortable as they're cared for by the staff. And for the families of the residents, may they have peace of mind that their loved ones' health and well-being are under the care of the staff. And from Partha Renewal at Hamilton Presbytery, Bell Hill West Church with Calum Stark, Wishaw St Mark's, Graham Austin, Hamilton St John's, Joe Hood, and Uddingston Old, Fiona McKibben, and their mentors, Sandra Boyd and Stuart Sharp. As we keep these all in prayer, also to pray for the situations around the world, and particularly this morning, looking at some of the stuff around Iraq. At least 99 people have died, and almost 4,000 have been wounded since these protests began in the capital on Tuesday. So that's just several days of continued rioting, disturbances, we'll say, and the protests for speaking out against unemployment and corruption has turned into violence, and 99 dead and 4,000 injured. And for our own country to pray around Brexit and everything that's happening there, in many ways the attention of the politicians is so focused there that we're not seeing anything else really happen. So let's join our hearts and our minds together and pray again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for those occasions when we're enslaved by unjust, corrupt and uncaring governments, for the times our oppressive and materialistic society treats us and those around us as little better than slaves. Father, we pray that you would help us as we struggle to bring hope and freedom to all those enslaved. We ask that your Holy Spirit guide and inspire us so that one form of bondage is not replaced by another. We pray, Lord, that oppressed people may find the glorious freedom you give to your people. Father, we pray for those who are enslaved by hunger, by poverty, those who enslaved by fear and addiction, to homelessness, cold, disease, debt. Lord, we pray for for all those who work to bring good news to the poor, to comfort the brokenhearted, to bring release from bondage, to feed the hungry and to give hope to the despairing. Father, as we pray for those who are struggling with illness, physical illness or mental illness. For those who just can't see beyond their circumstances, can't see you. Thank you for all those who care, who nurse. For all those who are involved in helping people move on. Father, we pray most of all that in all that, your love, your compassion, your mercy, your steadfast love would be known and accepted, and in that people would be released from the bondage that holds them back. And Father, we pray for those people you've put in our own hearts and minds now. And Father, we thank you. We come before you in the name of Jesus, who came to give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Let's worship. we continue our journey around from Patmos through to the churches that are giving messages in Revelation, we're getting to the church at Pergamum. So we'll hear the word of God.
To the church in Pergamum. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold in the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Amen.
So as we take time, I'm going to read that again. And just to hear again what the words are and what God is saying to each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your Spirit be with us. May he lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, from Revelation 2, verse 12, to the church in Pergamum. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I'll also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Amen. And just as we see these words again, and we'll sit afterwards and just sing together when the music fades.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, you're looking into my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, 'cause it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Let's pray. Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that it'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we approach the church of Pergamum. And just as I mentioned last week, when we're looking at all these churches on the map, Pergamon's about 65 miles north of Smyrna. It had the official honour of the provincial capital of Rome in Asia, although Ephesus and Smyrna claimed that title. Pergamon was a place of beauty and wealth, and part of that wealth was in a library of over 200,000 volumes, and second only to the Library of Alexandria. And there were two main religions there, pagan religions. There was a god of royal kings, represented by a bull, and the saviour god of healing, represented by a snake. And in many ways, Pergamon became known as what we would now call Lourdes. It's a place where people would go for healing. But that was all within the pagan worship. And so that's where they were. And the message is speaking into how they were and where they were and what they were. And still from last week, it's still very much about spiritual warfare. Satan, the enemy, is as active in Pergamon as we saw in Smyrna. And here that the message says, I know where you live, the church in Pergamon, I know where you live. It's where Satan lives. And that's repeated when he says about Antipas, one of your people, Antipas has died. It's where Satan lives. And this is now the message to the church, is that actually It's not just that Satan's in the city, but Satan's in the church. As we heard last week, and I thought about Smyrna, where kind of the church was surrounded, what was going on. Now what's going on is in the church, and Satan comes, and it's a deception of other practices and other doctrines that are happening within the church. But it's still Satan's activities. And the first thing he does, as we see in that message, is he persecutes the people of the church. Antipas died a martyr's death. Not told really what that's about, but actually died holding on to the name of Jesus. A martyr's death. And so what we see here is the suffering which will come to Smyrna, as we heard last week, that suffering that will come has already come to Pergamum. So Pergamon is already suffering what Smyrna will suffer into the future. And as well as that persecution comes a seduction, where Satan is telling people and enticing people to follow different practices. The practices of Balaam, the practices of the Nicolaitans. And actually, the people there would know the whole story about Balaam from Old Testament. But it's all about a seduction into a way of following different ways. And for the people there, to the importance, and for us, is the meaning of both Balaam and Nicolaitans. Is the root meaning is about conquering the people. So there's Balaam in the church. There's the Nicolaitans in the church. And both those names mean about conquering the people. Can be no mistake about what was going on in the church in Pergamum. It's an attack by Satan within the church. An attack that's designed to persecute some people who will not be moved from the name of Jesus Christ. And it's an attack to seduce people who can be tempted away by deception. And some of that deception, that practice, that doctrine is so close to the real thing that it becomes difficult for people to see properly. But once they've gone that route, that's them, they're off in a different way. You know, one of the things I always remember being taught is and told is that people learn to identify counterfeit notes by handling the real thing all the time. And because they handled real money, the real stuff all the time, they could identify when something was not right. You know, when we look at, there's some forged notes that look so forged, they're easy to identify, but then there's others that are so close, they're difficult to see. But for some people, bankers and people who are in that business, handling the real money actually lets them identify that which was false. And so people are being seduced by seeing the slight changes in things and being taken away and starting to look at different practices, different doctrines that start off being so close to the real thing, but not quite. And that leads them away. So here's Satan within the church of Pergamum, and he's persecuting those who are holding on to Jesus Christ's name. They're confessing that Jesus is Lord. He's persecuting them, and he's seducing others who can be tempted away. And so he's in the church. And the message from Christ for the church is, repent. repent. And that message of repentance is not just for the people who have been deceived or who are following the other practices, the looking at the other doctrines. It's not just for them, but it's for those who are holding on to the name of Jesus. Because actually what the message says is these people know what's going on. They know what's happening in their church and they're allowing it to happen. So they have to repent as well of allowing that to happen. They can see the difference, but they allow it to happen. It's almost like they just didn't want to take on the fight. It's almost like they just didn't want to take on the difficulty. Maybe that's because they had an idea that their fellowship would be burst. I don't know. But actually they didn't take that on. And that's the message, to repent for them. They're sitting, seeing the wrong practices, seeing the different ways, and still allowing it to happen. There's that thing of tolerance. And it's so easy for people to be brought into that thing about tolerance. Because we need to be tolerant. It's all right for people to do different things. It's all right for that church to see different ways. That tolerance. And there's also that lie that says, well, you know, everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it, and there's no harm in it, is there? There's no harm in it. So why don't you? And suddenly that's where it is. But that's the call of repentance. For those who tolerate what's going on in the church, and for those who are doing the things in the church. Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So right at the start of Jesus' ministry, he was talking about repentance and belief. Repent, turn away from your ways, turn to God and believe the good news. Believe that the kingdom is near. Believe that the kingdom is coming. Believe that in Jesus the kingdom has come and will come again. And the message says, otherwise, I will come soon to you with that double-edged sword. So, repent or otherwise, I'm going to come, says Jesus. I'm going to come to you with a double-edged sword. Actually, that's not about the second coming. That's about Jesus coming with his word. The double-edged sword with his word and dealing with the church. Dealing with those who go off and follow other doctrines and practices. Dealing with those who allowed it to happen, who've tolerated it. And the word, it's the word, the double-edged sword of the word of God is the thing that will separate and deal with people. And there's very much this point that as this church looks at itself, imagine being the church that receives that message. How would people deal with that? There would be some people who would immediately get on their knees and repent. Go through that process of saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to focus on you again. Everything that you want me to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to turn away from all this stuff. I'm going to focus only on you. Repent and believe. And there'll be other people still seduced who'll say, no, it's all right. That's never going to happen. It's okay. Jesus is of love. Jesus won't come like that because he loves. Because Jesus Christ is love and love is Jesus Christ. And you know, that might be true, but here we have a God who loves us and wants to discipline us. And that's where it is for the church at Pergamon. That's the message that they were getting. repent and believe. Repent now, otherwise I'm going to come. Repent now, otherwise I'm going to come. And so the church at Pergamon is given for those who are victorious. You will receive hidden manna and a white stone with a new name written on it. Only the person who is victorious and receives a white stone is going to know that name. The hidden manna and the new name, the stone, white stone with a new name. The hidden manna is maybe a reference to the manna that was put into the ark along with the tablets, the commandments, all these years ago. It's maybe a reference to that manna was put into the ark for the future. Not so they could eat it, but actually it's the whole idea of the point of God's provision in the future. So maybe that hidden manna is that. But certainly it means that God's going to provide for his people, because we know that that loving God of ours will provide. And so for those who are victorious, they will be provided with everything that they need, the manna, they will receive. Maybe it's a reference to Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Maybe that manna is a reference to that feast. A feast in heaven. A feast that we are ultimately called to. And what of the white stone? Well, possibly, and people aren't sure, but possibly it's a reference to what used to happen. People got an invite to a public event. They were given a wee white stone. Maybe that was their ticket. Maybe that's how we would see a ticket then. But on that stone is going to be a new name for the ones who are victorious. A new name. A new name given to them by God himself. A new name and maybe a new creation. A new name and certainly a transformation in that individual, these people, because they've turned, repented, and they believe. Transformation. A new creation. But that name known only to the Father and to the individual. What a special thing that is. A new name. And we've seen in Scripture that people are given new names. But a new name, so that stone with a new name. To those who are victorious, hidden manna, a white stone with a new name written on it. Surely this is God bringing his people to himself. Through Jesus Christ. And I've said before that these messages to these churches are not a sequence of things that are going to happen before we get to the last one. These are things that have been happening in the churches then, have been happening in the past, are happening in the churches now and will into the future until that time when Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign again. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for us today? I believe that God's calling us to focus on his word. It is the double-edged sword. When we think of the armour of God, Ephesians 6, we speak about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So as we focus on the Word, we get a call to focus on God's Word, to be disciples, to know exactly what that is. Get a focus to pray. First of all, to spend time with the Father. Just spending time. No list of things to pray about. No urgent calls to the Father. Will you please do this, do that? Just time to spend with the Father. Who are you? Who am I? What are you calling me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? To spend the time in that relationship with the Father, that's a covenant, in the covenant relationship. To know what our responsibility is in the building up of the kingdom. A call to prayer, a call to the Word, a call to look to Him. And for those who are victorious, hidden manna, a white stone with a new name written on it, God Himself holding us. In Jesus' name, amen. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Let's worship.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together to worship you. By your Spirit now, take us from this place. Enable us to share your love, your mercy, your compassion with your people in the streets that where we find them. Lord, that your Spirit would continue with us as we share together and move on to share with others. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one now until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. May the peace of the Lord Jesus be with you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our